Well, good morning, everybody. Again, it's lovely to be with you guys this morning. And this morning I've got a hopefully encouraging message for us, and I'm trusting that our hearts will be open to be encouraged by the Lord. You know, sometimes we get overwhelmed with life, and there's lots of, I mean, we live in a world filled with challenges, filled with discouragement. We live in a world where, I mean, there are so much weariness. Life is busy, and I think it's a time for us that we actually need to encourage ourselves, and we need to encourage others. It's a life that we cannot live on our own, and if we think we can do this life on our own, very quickly we will actually end up being discouraged, and so. It's so important, and that's what I want to preach about this morning, is encouragement. Encouragement. And the question I want to ask is, do I really need you? And so it's not a question I'm asking you, that's a question you're asking to me and the person next to you. Do I really need you? And I think we, like I said, we're living in a very much a self-centered world, right? Everything is about you and me. And all the books that you'll find on the bookshelf and whichever bookstore you go into, it's about you and how you can be better. And it's all the, really, we become the centerpiece of the world. It's like that saying, the evil trinity, me, myself, and I. You know, that really is very much our thinking in today's life, that we're living in a world filled with self. And what do I need? What do I want? And we very rarely think about others, right? Very rarely. And so there was a study done recently at the University of Harvard. I want to quickly give you the stats. It is insane to think about it this way. But the average person spends up to 80% of their thoughts focusing on themselves. Luckily, we're not average, right? So it's much higher. Above average. But the reality is, the average person spends up to 80% of their thoughts thinking about themselves, thinking about what they need, thinking about their plans, thinking about how they are feeling. And again, it means that, and surely for us as born-again believers, that percentage must be lower. As people of God, thinking about others, that percentage should be lower for us. We are called to be Christ-like. We are called to reflect Jesus. And if we look at Jesus' life, how much did he think about others? I mean, his whole life was about others, about me and you. It was nothing about himself. It was all about the person in front of him. Whereas the world just flipped that whole thing around. No, it's about you. Where Jesus says, no, I came to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to love. I came to give. Where the world says, no, you pick up your life. You fight for your own rights. You climb that ladder. Where Jesus' way is down. And the world says, no, the way is up. You see how different the way of the kingdom is. And more than ever, it's a time for us to be intentional to encourage one another. And so this morning I want to share on encouragement. Did you know that it's actually a spiritual gift? Did you know that? The prophecy and speaking in tongues publicly and coming to interpret it publicly, those are wonderful gifts that we all want to see more. But did you know that there's a gift called encouragement? Who of you feel like you've got that gift of encouragement? A couple of you. And I want to encourage you this morning that I think it's a value that we all should hold to. And I want to read a scripture in Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. He has given us gifts. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If you have the gift of serving others, serve them well. If you If you are a teacher, do you a good job of teaching? If your gift is to encourage others, do it. Yeah, do it. That's what it says. I've got a different translation, so I was expecting something else. If you have the gift to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously, like Skulk mentioned. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And so encouragement is a gift, but can I show you something quickly? That it's not just a gift for some. It has to be a value for all. Who of you feel like you've got the gift of serving? Like when you walk into a room, you just want to serve. When you walk into people's homes, you just want to serve. But does that limit us? Does it limit the rest not to serve? No, we're all called to serve. We're all called to serve. That's why, you know, these chairs that you are sitting on this morning, it didn't just arrive by accident. It didn't just happen. There was a community that arrived early. There was a community that set up the coffee. There's people that's coming to serve, and that's why we rotate every week, just to get all of us involved in serving in His church. And so all of us are called to serve. But then you get a few of us that they've got the gift. They've got the gift to serve. It's like giving. If you've got the gift of giving, I'm not going to ask you have the gift of giving. But if you have the gift of giving, does that mean all the others are exempt to give? No. Because God says, I love a cheerful giver. We all should be givers. And so when it comes to encouragement, those of you who feel like you've got a gift of encouragement, does that mean all of us are exempt not to encourage? Again, it should be a value for us that we hold to, that we are to encourage one another in all we do. And it's not just a once-off. It's not just a shallow, Richard, you look beautiful today. Your hair is just in the right path this morning. It's usually the other way around, but I love it this way. It's not a shallow sugarcoating. You get what I'm saying? It's not just a compliment, actually. And we all should compliment one another and just honor one another. But I want to dig a little bit deeper on why do we encourage and how do we encourage? And for what reason? How does this work? Is it just a, you know, you look beautiful today? Or you get what I'm saying? We should do all those things. You know, we should be nice people. But encouragement, if it's a spiritual gift, there has to be a spiritual component to it. There has to be a spiritual meaning to it. And I'm hoping that we'll dig into that this morning. So let's talk about the why. Why do we need to encourage? Why do we need to receive encouragement? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. This is, for me, the Bible can be so practical at times, eh? It says this, think of ways to encourage one another, to outbursts of love and good deeds. It's so simple, right? And this is the reason why. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back again is drawing near. And so Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. That day is drawing near. That day is closer than yesterday. And how do we know when that day is? We don't know, but are you ready for that day? And until that day, let us not neglect gathering together. Because these are the times where we can encourage one another. These are the times where we can help one another to love and good deeds. That's what the Bible says. So these times are not just, hey, let's just go to a Sunday meeting and go home. And this is much more important than what we think at times. That's why I think COVID actually is, I just don't want to go there actually now, but I think COVID revealed a lot in our own hearts. COVID did. COVID revealed a lot in our own hearts. Our need for self, our need to walk alone. I mean, how many churches today are just not meeting anymore because for various reasons? But God's way is the church. God's way is the gathering of saints, the gathering of the believers, not just coming to receive a beautiful message, but coming to serve, coming to encourage, coming to love, coming to be part of His body, part of His church. And so let's consider how can we motivate one another in love and good deeds, encouraging one another. I'm not a Greek scholar by no means. Richard is the one for that. But the word encouragement in the Greek means paraklesis. It's not how you pronounce that, but that's how I pronounced it. Paraklesis is the Greek word for encouragement. It actually means this. It means a call to one's side. A call to one's side. It is actually the same root. It's the same root word that Jesus used when He referred to the Holy Spirit. When he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that's going to be in you now. It's the same word, the paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. Same word. So in the same way that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to encourage us to become more like Him, in the same way we are to encourage one another, coming alongside one another, for us to become more like Him. That is the spiritual significance of the gift of encouragement. Not just the, you look nice today. It's a coming alongside. If I come alongside JP, I come alongside him to encourage him in his walk with the Lord. When he's struggling, when he's discouraged, I encourage him to follow Jesus. If there's sin, you need to let go of that thing, man. There's a holiness that God has called you for. That's how we encourage one another. And not just calling out sin, but actually, you're doing well. Keep on doing that. This is what the Lord has called you for. Keep on doing that. That's often what we need to do. Coming alongside. And so, can I ask a quick practical question? Who would you say is the fittest person in this room? Not the fittest. Hey, who would you say? He's not here. Maybe, Tien, I think you're quite fit. Maybe you can come to the front quickly. I've seen him run after his kids. And you look quite fit. And so I want to illustrate something quickly for us this morning. He seems like a very fit guy. Are you? Don't answer that. But he seems like a fit guy. And so I want to illustrate something on what it means to encourage someone in their race. And so I want you to run from that point to that point. And I just want to say there's an indemnity that he signed beforehand. If there's any pulled hammies, luckily we've got Diewald to help us out this morning as a doctor. But can you run from that side to that side? On your own pace. Just, no, from that side. Go for it. Okay, whoa, stop. Is your heart rate up? Are you warmed up? Okay. And so I'm sure if we come alongside him to encourage him to run his race a little bit faster, I guarantee you his pace will increase, right? So can I ask us by the count of three to give him the loudest cheer that you can to encourage him to run faster? Can we do that? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Thanks, you can grab a seat. Isn't that what we're supposed to do in our spiritual walk with the Lord? Alone, you think you're going at the right pace. You're thinking you're doing well. But who knows? Maybe the Lord wants you to run faster for Him. Maybe the Lord wants you to run more consistent for Him. Maybe the Lord wants you to finish the race. And alone, when we get discouraged, man, it's difficult to look at the finish line. When we see this hill, when we are tired, when there's no water, we get tired and we don't want to finish the race. I've dropped out of many running races before because of various reasons. It's not lekker. But it's those moments where people come alongside you to encourage you. You know, at a race, there's always those people alongside the road. Go, go, you can do it. It actually helps. It's very shallow and superficial, but I'm hoping you get this picture. In our spiritual race, we are to come alongside and encourage, because the Lord has given you a race to run. And so the why is because we need it. The why is because we need it. And can I just say, I think most people, let's rephrase. I think many people are secretly battling discouragement. And you may be sitting here this morning just feeling discouraged. And just the very fact that you got to church this morning is already a win for you. Well done for coming. Because the Lord wants to speak to you. But I believe that many Christians, many people in the faith, are secretly battling discouragement. And there's a saying that says, everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Every person that you meet with is fighting something, and people don't always know about it. And so we've got a responsibility, firstly, to open up, because people are not just going to smell it. I remember just some marriage advice quickly. Johanri, yeah, there at the back. I remember Johanri saying to me once, oh yeah, you need to tell me how you feel. I can't smell it. Yes, it's like years ago, and that thing is still sticking with me. And so the point that I want to make is you need to tell us how you feel and tell us what you're going through. Be vulnerable, be transparent. We're not going to smell it. At times we can see it based on the fruit and the normal life circumstances. But we need to open up. And we invite encouragement in, actually. It's not just going to happen by itself. And so Galatians 6, are you guys with me? I'm still under why, because we need it. Galatians 6 verse 2, it says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. If we are self-focused, we are going to miss opportunities to encourage. If we are self-focused, if we are so focused on ourselves, that gift is not going to flow. And again, Jesus noticed the one. Jesus noticed me. Jesus noticed you. Jesus was intentional in the way that he spoke. He always noticed. Even in the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, we know the story that he saw behind just the exterior. He saw behind just the external. He went straight to the heart. He knew how to build her up. He knew how to encourage her. He knew that she needs grace, love, mercy. But if you are self-focused, you're not going to see the need in others. And I think more than ever, we need to be a church family that sees the need in one another. If we are not self-focused, we lay down our life for the person next to me. Because it's not a solo sport. Listen, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whatever, but there's a study as well that was done recently, a couple of years ago, that says that encouragement can reduce anxiety by 35%. Well, it depends on the person's kind of baseline stress levels. But 35% less anxiety because of people encouraging them. It has an impact. It's not just loose words. That's why the Bible says, God says, don't be loose with your words. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Why? Because our words carry weight and influence and significance. And if you encourage someone, it might help that person to run the race for the Lord well. So we need it. We need it. I actually want to say, if you feel like you don't need it, you're on the brink of being discouraged. You're close to being discouraged. You think you're fine now. Until you're discouraged, then you realize you need it. Man, let's throw wood on the fire of encouraging people all the time. Every time I spend time with people, every time I have a coffee or a phone call, I always think, what would Jesus have said to you? And at times it might be correction. At times it might be very firm. But it's done out of love to build you up. But at other times, it's just coming alongside and say, well done. You're doing well. Jesus loves you, and keep on going. Do we have that value of thinking of others more than we think of ourselves? And then my last point, just on how we can encourage. I wrote down a list of practical things, which I'm not going to go into this morning. But how can we encourage? And I want to say it's by being intentional. Jesus was intentional with us. Jesus was intentional with you. And we are to be intentional with others by using words and actions in a consistent manner to build people up. That is what encouragement is. It's not just a WhatsApp. It might be. Let's start there. But it might be actions. Those moments, I remember, you know, I've moved so many houses before, and even coming here, I was so blown away by your openness towards us as a family. I mean, loads of people inviting us for meals and bringing meals and wanting to come help with our curtains, and there's lots of stuff which we really appreciate. It's intentionality, not just words, but actions. But not just actions, but words as well. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your words carry weight. Your words carry power. And it's not a word of faith teaching this morning where we can name it and claim it. But I realize that whichever word comes out of your mouth either builds up or it breaks down. As simple as that. There's no neutral words. Your speech, your language, either builds up or it breaks down. So how are you speaking about the people that are not in front of you? How do you speak about your leaders? How do you speak about those that you don't get along with well in the church? How do you speak about people in general? Is it in a positive, upbuilding way, or is it, you get what I'm saying? You need to build up. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another, when? Daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Every day. Every day. We need to look out for one another. This is a us thing. This is not a you thing. It's a us thing. We're all in the same race. You're running for the Lord. Man, and I want really, my heart is on that last day when Jesus returns for his church, that all of us can stand in front of him. And that he can look at us and he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. For all of us to come through, for all of us to finish the race. It's a us thing. I'll maybe end with this story quickly. Then I want to pray for us. As Tien's beautifully showed us just now on how he ran from the one side to the other, I'm also a little bit into running. And there was, I think it was last year, I did the Two Oceans Marathon. It's 56 kilometers. It's I don't know why I did it. It's madness. I don't even phone people that far. Anyway, I did the two oceans last year, and I felt strong. When I started the race, I felt strong. I felt I'm actually going to put up a good time. And when I got to the 43rd kilometer mark, it's quite specific because I remember what happened. At the 43 kilometer mark, it just felt like there's nothing left in me. Now I've got 13 kilometers still to go. And we're going up Constantia Neck, which is quite a big mountain, especially if you're from Bloom. And so I'm going up this mountain and my legs are finished. Eh? It's done. I can't run anymore. I'm walking. And I mean, those people are next to the road, they're trying their best. Go, 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 go. And I'm just, you don't know what I'm going through. And how often is that the case in our lives, that you don't know what I'm going through? You say, well done, keep going, but you don't know what I'm going through. And it happened to me in this race, and I'm at this very point, and I remember I had this thought. I'll give anything right now to just see Yuhandri's face. Beautiful, eh? I'm hearing all the ahs and oohs, and I remember at that 43-kilometer mark, I'll pay a lot of money now just to see Yuhandri's face. And the reason for that is because I know she'll come alongside me and she'll tell me, keep going, you'll be all right. She'll maybe tell me, listen, you paid to do this, but that would be unhelpful in that scenario. But I know she'll come alongside and she'll tell me, keep going, just a little bit longer. You're almost there. You've done so well already. And that's what happens. She was about a kilometer late, but anyway, eventually I saw her halfway up the mountain, and she did exactly that. She brought me a little gel, and she's like, keep going, you'll be all right. And suddenly I just feel like I can do this, man. My legs were still hurting, but I can do this. I've got motivation. Suddenly I'm aware of the finish line where I lost perspective a kilometer earlier. That is exactly what the gift of encouragement does with one another in the church. When we lose perspective of the finish line, we can come alongside. Andre, just lift your eyes to Jesus. Just lift your eyes to the call that Jesus has called you for. There's a purpose for your life. There's work to be done. Don't just fill a chair. There's work to be done. And we need to encourage one another, because there's a day drawing near where He's coming back. And until that day, we're going to keep encouraging one another. Does this make sense? And so where there's no encouragement, people will fall out of the race. But if we have a culture of encouragement, people will remain in Him, people will remain in Jesus, and on that last day, we'll see Him face to face, because we finished the race. We have finished the race. And watch out. Watch out that the enemy, the devil, will come and discourage you. And the way he does it is to isolate you. You're going into holiday season for a couple of weeks where there's no formal communities. Watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. Press in. Don't isolate. Don't fall for the trap of the devil. Press in. Because God uses encouragement to connect us, to restore us, and to build us up. Amen?